Hi, this is Eddie Floyd with 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. We have another wonderful, wonderful interview taking place today. Not only do we have Marty Ellen again, but we also have John Keel in the studios from New York City. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, Eddie. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having us again.
Well, listen, it's our pleasure. I've got to share with you one thing that has been amazing to me ever since our first interview. I've been actually following you, and when I say following you, I'm not just talking about nationwide, Marty. You're actually making a big impact in Europe right now. Is that right?
I actually am making a big impact in Europe, especially in Paris, where a lot of the story takes place.
You know, Marty, for the listeners who might be just tuning in right now to Fox News Radio 99.1 FM Talk, and they're learning about your unbelievable work, can you tell me what seems to be the biggest appeal of your story?
I think the biggest appeal of this story is that it has a lot of hidden aspects of mobile technology in a story that, at first blush, would not seem to have that kind of access. So the story appeals to a very broad audience because it has mobile technology embedded in the story, and people who are lovers of stories about ancestry and generational secrets will begin to uncover ideas about mobile technology and traveling linked to other ideas that they never thought existed.
Well, I tell you, you are certainly reaching a wide range of an audience here, and it just amazes me because, you know, your story is a thriller. You know, it's a murder mystery. Geez, more than anything, it seems like it's a puzzle. It certainly is a puzzle to me, and it's also a historical journey about a fictional dynasty. You know, what else is it, Marty?
Well, John and I were discussing this morning that we think the biggest appeal of this is that it's actually a very sexy story because it's about competition of genes and a story about survival through the generations to hold on to a certain kind of power that seems very elusive to people. The best way to understand that is to hear a couple of the music bites, to hear how I use music to frame the power of the family, something akin to the Force in Star Wars. The music has a different message in each century, and as one begins to follow this mapping of this music code in the story, they begin to understand how they can get hold of the mobile technology. Does that seem to make sense?
Well, you know, it does. It does make sense, and plus, I've got to share with you, your story is also very, very impressive in the way of being a thriller and a murder mystery, and so I recommend it to our entire listening audience. You know, how about, if you would, one of the things that I'd like you to explain to our listeners right here on 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News, and that is, if you could, tell us a little more about the inter, or shall I say, multi-generational message that your story actually sends out to all of us.
Well, let me think for a moment about how one would understand many generations of a family very quickly. I mean, since we're in this very social networking soundbite media moment in time, that was one of my biggest challenges, was to show how several generations of a family co-opt their workforce. So it's easiest to understand this as one family dynamic, where in a certain form, the clockwork puzzle of the family catapults and uses each one of the characters' best traits, so to speak. In that way, they know a secret about a child that they have kept hidden in Paris, and how that child retains the power of a town and a secret going way back to the Middle Ages, although the story actually dips back further than that. But the reveal of the story in the opening has to do with the fact that this child is about to come into view to the audience, and it's their best-kept secret how this child actually has much information about all of their power, much more information about each one of them than each one of them has about themselves.
You know, Marty, I've got to jump in right now. I was talking to one of your associates there, and one of the things that really, truly impressed me was, and he told me point blank, he said, be sure and get Marty to tell you about how your particular work will tie into some contemporary movies that we have right now. Could you explain that to us?
I certainly can. Well, very much of the moment, it seems to me, the movies that are making big splashes on the screen are movies that focus on abilities for survival, championship, and the ability for a whole family to uphold the skill of one particular character. And two movies that come to mind are The Fighter and The King's Speech, very disparate movies, but two movies that capitalize on the notion of an underdog person in the family who actually rises to the top to make the family very important. In The Fighter, I was particularly taken by the way the dynamic of each, the competition of the family moves, and until the family completely gets behind this one particular character, he cannot really succeed.
I'm telling you, Marty, the Fighter, so we can actually compare your work to The Fighter, correct?
Well, I think on a certain level, it's a story, yes, it has a very workmanship idea of how families work against each other and for each other. And also the other idea of The Fighter is the audience in The Fighter plays a very big part. There's a very big soundtrack. The audience comes into the ring and is cheering behind. And also as the audience moves with the character who's learning to succeed, the actual audience sitting in the movie theater is doing the same thing.
Well, you know, Marty, there's a little of Marshall McLuhan's, you know, the media is the message, the medium is the message. Is your story like this?
Oh, very much so. In each century, this particular idea of the family genome, the way their ancestry is characterized in this town, is traveling with them so that in each century, a different technology holds their secret. In a sense, the story is really very, very simple. Once somebody gets a hold of this very formulaic idea, sort of akin to Peter and the Wolf, how this particular location of their ancestry is set up.
Well, you know, John, I assume you're still with us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, John, I have a question for you. You've been, and by the way, no, I'm not following you, but I've been tracking you all over the country. And you just came back from California. And, John, you've got to really think Marty Ellen's onto something right now, or your time is so very, very valuable. As a matter of fact, tell the listeners of 99.1 FM Talk exactly what you were doing in California.
Well, it was a great experience for me. I finally, after 30 or 40 years in the music business, I actually had a client get nominated for a Grammy. And she was an interesting story herself in that she's a 56-year-old businesswoman who has sung her whole life privately. She's Hindu, and she sings inside of this great Hindu tradition where singing is actually almost more of a meditation, or almost like a martial art. Although she'd probably hate me for characterizing it as a martial art, but there's a discipline to it, and it's a personal discipline. And she finally made a record, and we mixed it for her. It was recorded in Calcutta. We mixed it for it, and lo and behold, it was nominated in the contemporary world music category. So we were out there celebrating that nomination, and but that sort of speaks to who I am. I'm a music producer by profession, but I'm also a holder of an electrical engineering degree. I love mathematics, and when I met Marty 5 or 6 years ago, I immediately saw this dimension of her. This theme, one of the big themes in her story, is how maps get made. And Marty likes to talk about it in this more physical space of the Rue de Vaugirard that goes through all of the counties, if you will, of Paris, the arrondissements, and that that map becomes the map of modern Paris. That map doesn't look so much different from modern Washington, D.C. or New York City. That map, quite honestly, doesn't look that much different than the face of a clock. And so Marty starts drawing all of these parallels between these different ways that we map data into abstract information. And we're living in this world. We're living in this world where there's all this data, and we need better maps.
Well, you know, John, I'm going to jump in right now. My own personal publicist, Miles Ottenheimer, reigning out of Dallas, Texas, got involved with Marty's story and kind of similarly said the same identical thing, you know, because I consider him, who was, by the way, a Rhodes Scholar, I consider him to be a very intelligent man. And he said, you know, Eddie, Marty Ellen is really onto something here, and it is for everyone, but it also, if you will, draws out the best in us trying to figure it out as well.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it's hard to talk to Marty about this in 5 or 10 minutes because it's so compacted and impacted on itself. There's so many ideas that she sort of has infused together. It's actually somewhat hard to pull it apart and look at each little stem. But I'm part of the data stem. I'm part of the 21st century layer on this. And a big event in Marty's story is that these themes that have been going on since the Middle Ages in her story have a technical layer now. And in her story, one of the characters has invented a device called the MEND device, which stands for Musical Encode Decode. And in the story, it's the exploration of how can data be represented in music, you know, both to obfuscate information and send secret messages, but also how to make obvious messages. Out here in the real world, their data sonification is a big new study where people are trying to listen to the stock market and they're trying to listen to weather patterns and try to hear things that they were only trying to see before using different map technologies.
Well, you know, I believe it was Albert Einstein who said if we have a absolute knowledge of math, we can figure out everything that takes place in our lives. And I'll tell you, this work that Marty, I want to come back to you right now. Okay, John, thank you so much.
Sure.
We're looking forward to you being involved with Marty Ellen. I look forward to our very next interview as well, which is right around the corner. Marty, what's next? What's next? What's the next big goal, the next big hurdle that you have to get this out to not just the select few that had the honor and pleasure to review it now, but what's next for you with this work?
Well, I think, John, and you just set me up for that for that answer. Basically, I want to come back to the actual story of the child and what she's doing there, and also preempt maybe we can play a tiny bit of the music for you.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I would absolutely love that if John's set up right now. John, can you code that in for me?
I can, Eddie. Give me 1 second.
Let me explain a little bit of this hopscotch that the child is going to do.
All right.
So we begin there. She's basically encoding this information that John is talking about, sonification of data. So you just imagine this tiny 8-year-old child. We don't know much about her. We find out later that she's actually been programmed to understand each one of the character voices. And she comes out in Paris on this particular day. At the same time in New York, there's this star that's going to be premiering a song. And at the same time in Washington, there is this woman who's going to unfold the information about the dynasty in the Library of Congress and at the Mayflower Hotel. So you have these three very disparate scenes. And we're focused on this young child and this little tablet hopscotch that she's beginning to encode. So the conversation that you just had with John is really a precursor, a preempt to this scene, which shows you how the data is being marked by the child in this tiny little tablet, the way you would in an iPad, in an iPhone. And she's sending out this information that is going through all of the characters in this conveyor belt route, and they all think that they are getting this independently. Well, really, we begin to understand how these characters are connected in, again, this town genome. So that should kind of set you up for this little escapade of this child just doing this tiny little hopscotch that grows into this big orchestral scene later on. How's that?
All right, John, if you're ready, let's hear it.
Okay, Eddie, stand by 1 second.
It's a little rift of it.
Boy, I tell you what, I really like what I hear. I can apply it to the scene that you're referring to, and that's just absolutely amazing to me. You know, it lends itself, Marty, if you'd let me be so bold, it almost lends itself to, there seems to be a big movement right now in retrospect. Go back to, you know, the days of where you and I used to listen to the radio at night and hear the great stories being told on radio. I could actually see something like this as a sideline to your wonderful story and the beautiful music that goes along with this mystery. You know, I just think that people would be glued to the radio in the evenings if we had that opportunity. That's one angle I'd like to push, you know, for you right out here on the West Coast, and especially here in Northern Nevada, where we're located. And of course, you're being heard all right now on Fox News Radio 99.1 FM, not only in Northern Nevada, but throughout the great state of Nevada as well, because all of you matter to us just like Nevada matters to us all. John, Marty, I tell you what, I would like you to do me a favor. If it's all at all convenient, let's continue this interview tomorrow. Bring some more sound beds in. And because myself, Miles Ottenheimer, and even the radio station owner has a lot of questions for you, because we all can spot talent, and we see it in both of you.
We thank you very much. We have much, don't worry, we have a plethora of music bites to play for you to show you how this, you know, little tiny theme explodes. That's part of the mystery.
I think it's wonderful. Let me ask you this, Marty, if you don't mind, if you could explain another piece, if you have another piece ready,
sure.
And she can explain it and we can get it on the air, I'll take us out with that beautiful music.
Okay.
We'd like to play a little bit of the actual theme that the star listens to, so right on the heels of this tiny little hopscotch, you have those sound bells that John was speaking about that are like marking the town's boundary, right? And that's what you're going to hear in the beginning of this theme called Ray's Theme, and it's kind of a tiny little sexy perfume melody. Hopefully, John will play it right from the beginning to the end. It's about 3 minutes, and it's a very romantic scene, and it becomes a very nostalgic and sad story because this particular star is murdered before she gets quite to the end of it.
Well, let's not give away too much.
Okay.
Marty Ellen, John Q, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. This is 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. We're going to go out with that piece of music that Marty just described to each and every one of you. John, Marty, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eddie.